Vampires are a pretty ancient myth amongst humans. They used to blur lines with succubus and succubi and incubus and all the other demons. A mixture of, well, blood drinker and bodily fluid consuming creatures. But in modern times, they certainly differentiated themselves into something very specific, something very delicious, and something always worth indulging and exploring, in my opinion. So today, that's exactly what we're going to do. Assuming you've read all the tags and taken the time to familiarize yourself with them, well, then we're ready to get started. Make sure, of course, you have a good chunk of time to listen to the file, as well as a comfortable place to do so. With all those prerequisites met, knowing that, of course, throughout this, at any point, if you should need to adjust yourself, all you're doing is enhancing your own experience to get more comfortable. There should never be a moment of inability to move, because anything you do to make yourself more comfortable benefits your own experience, thus meaning that you're being a better hypnotic subject. Same goes for anything else you might need to do. It's something I always like to remind you of, because it helps. It increases one's ability to listen, to focus, to get pulled in by something. Because when there's less things pulling on us, except for the words we want to hear, like strands wrapped up inside your mind right through your ear, well, then you can get pulled out into the story so much easier, drawn in close, like I'm right there inside your mind, whispering to you with one syllable after the next. That can feel really good, to get wrapped up like that. So anything that we can do to support that, to make that experience all the more delectable, is one that I will never turn down. And so I'll always encourage it. And you'll always be spilling more and more of that delicious, soporific, hypnotic state into your head when you're doing that. So it's a win-win, really. Something that can pull you in, something that can grab your mind, something that can spin around and around it so easily. And when you set it up like that, why, it's practically like hitting a T-ball. Everything's lined up for me. It's a team effort, really. So do that. Be good for me. Get yourself comfortable and know that you'll easily be able to lose yourself. Doesn't it feel so much better knowing that you're working with me? Since we both want the same goal. We both want to go to the same place and have the same outcome. Pulled so easily when you realize how good it can be to let yourself go. We're both looking for that mental vacation, that moment in between. It's a nice place to be, isn't it? When your thoughts are siphoned away, drawn out of you, drank by something powerful. Why, that can feel so delicious sometimes, the power exchange of our minds. The more you realize that you have an influence over it, control over it, the ability to go into it, why, the better it gets, the stronger it becomes, the easier you succumb until the words are wrapped so intricately, so very tightly, around one's mind. That's what makes it delicious, to have something woven around you. It's the gravity of it, the pull, the magnetism, the intrigue, the desire, the want, the need, the piece of you that I can just so greedily indulge right now. And that's the best part. We both get indulged. And there's nothing better than that mutual reciprocity of both enjoying an experience, isn't there? Not really, no. So let me pull, let me grab, let me grip, let me gently mold and shape and drop your mind a little further. Let yourself follow along. Give in to my song. There's no need for you to be anywhere else right now for me. So just let yourself drift into that nice rhythm of my words, that easy spoken place, that empty blank face, that mindless drifting. Dropping, churning, melting, breaking, empty, blank. And every time one visits it, every time one explores it, every time one's mind is wrapped up, pulled in, grabbed, and shaped, one becomes more experienced, one becomes more able, one gets more empty. And that's the nice thing about it. There's always a possibility that you might go a little deeper. Or maybe you will. And that's the thing about it. There's always that chance for more and more. It's a practice skill. That's why you sink and slip and drip and drop. That's why words that pull you can just bring your mind to a stop. Like that. And that can feel very good, can't it? Can feel very delicious and thoroughly, thoroughly captivating. Why? The way one's body grows distant. One's limbs become spatially unfocused, one's thoughts drifting independently of their frame, feeling the cool intensity of loss, of focus, maybe a gentle coolness blowing on one's extremities, imagining what it might feel like to let a wind blow across you, tantalizing, stimulating, focusing, fixating, and yet as it blows, as it focuses you in on those parts of you, you lose track. Let them go. They fade. So easily, though. It might not be something you expect to see every day. A cool wind blowing away all the senses of one's body, leaving one numbed and cold for a little bit. But then again, if you were to wake up in a snowbank, on the side of the road in a town unfamiliar to oneself, if one was to see blowing flurries across an icy expanse, a city stretching into the distance in a foreign land and languages you do not know, signage, people very, very far apart, icy cold, a lack of all the important things that should be in one's pockets as their frigid limbs begin to move, noticing for the first time the nip of the icy cold, what it might feel like, a numbness spreading already. How did one get here, separated from all that they know? I'm sure that a hangover and a night of partying couldn't have led someone so far out into the snow, but something happened, and it's not good. Trudging now through the thick snow, hardly any sign of a sidewalk, more of a berm where the snow was plowed, fumbling one's way towards society once more, past old industrial structures, houses shuttered in and buried in the snow. A road already with inches of icy, cold, fluffy snow, packed down in places by tire tracks to icy patches. The road sleek and slippery. No vehicles passing by as the sun sets behind a wall of clouds and snow. Darkness beginning to encroach in the distance. An evening that is swiftly leaning to the darkness of night. Trudging still without sight of anything familiar. When the crunching of tires rolling through the snow approaches from behind, instinctively you brace yourself against the berm, afraid to be run down by an errant motorist. But instead, the vehicle rolls to a stop next to you. The door cracks a little on the side of a black limousine. And an elegant booted leg extends out as a figure from one's dreams might emerge from reality. Something beyond expectation steps out. A beautiful, tall woman, dressed for the weather in style. Countless, countless details could be recounted, but the imposing presence, the dark hair, the perfectly done makeup, the great coat, the boots, and scarf wrapped so perfectly and elegantly as she stands towering over you. My dear, you do look like you're having a bit of a hard time out here. Surely someone, such as yourself, shouldn't be in the cold, such a fragile, delicate little morsel of a thing. You shiver. That morsel has a way of making one feel more frail. Her smile is almost hungry, yet charming in a way that you can't quite describe. A meek nod, hardly even realizing how surprised you are that she speaks English after seeing all the lines and signs and things that made no sense to your brain. Come now, dear. With cuts on your face, your clothing disheveled, how did you get here? You mumble something about a party getting out of hand, about traveling and losing your things. She nods briskly, hardly even seeming to take it in, before ushering you towards the warmth of the waiting limousine. You can hardly deny it. It's still miles to go to the first lit building in front of you that isn't covered in snow. And that was honestly pretty far looking with all the snow coming down, the way your feet were starting to slowly get numb as you climb into the warmth of the limousine. She climbs in behind you, her frame filling the door, not by being bulky, but by sheer height alone, as she somehow manages to slide perfectly in, performing an action that makes her seem ethereal, without bounds, perching herself in front of you, beside you. So, sweet little dear, I don't think you should be in for much more trouble now. No, I'll take such good care of you. It would be my pleasure, after all. A traveler in these lands shouldn't be left without hospitality. I would be happy to let you stay with me for a little while, to give you a chance to recuperate from your wounds and your, frostbite. You certainly don't look like you should be out here any longer. So come with me, and we'll sort out everything else in the morning. After all, you'd be a fool to turn down my offer, since I know that you just need someone to help you out. You clearly look so helpless, so pitiful. You find yourself already locked into her gaze, her piercing eyes. So strong, so full of care and concern. The way she moves in, you've hardly even noticed as her hand brushes up past your shoulder to rest across you, gently pulling you in, as her smile, oh so perfect, clean, sharp, white teeth, outlined by meticulously applied lipstick. Her scent, faint and full of expense and spice. Her grin and her cheer, enchanting. Her eyes, pulling. So sweet little morsel. I think you'll do much better now that I have you in my care. Why, I'd say you may find yourself more comfortable here than you've ever been anywhere else before. And I promise, I won't let you be cold ever again. No, my dear, I would never give you such a dreadful, dreadful feeling. Her fingers brush against your cheek, clawed nails sending little ripples, eyes glowing just faintly, enough to feel as though they're catching hidden candlelight, flickering to and fro across one's mind, easily going in and out of focus. So much thought stolen by those simple glints, those glowing red hints. But truly, to think I could have missed you had it not been for my lovely driver. She surely has a sharp eye to have spotted something so charming as you stranded out here. I was lost in my reading, and I'm grateful for her help in that. For surely, had it not been for such a coincidence, I would never have found you here. And you seem to be quite disoriented, quite lost. It surely must be hard and difficult for you. Your eyes, they look like that of a doe. So helpless, it makes me want to take care of you. Her hands brush again as she gently pulls you in closer. A thought of protestation passes through one's mind, a gentle perturbation that hardly breaks the surface of what's begun, even as she manages to pull you in tighter. How could one deny such beauty, such charm, such care? Your eyes watering almost. A hidden fear. No, that doesn't make sense. She's here to care about you. Here to look gently into your eyes. Here to just take away all the cold and throbbing pains of an aching and icy world. Oh, lamb, little sweet thing, you're quivering. Surely you mustn't have been so cold as to have hypothermia. Goodness, and I haven't even offered you my coat, she says, carefully beginning to shrug off her thick overcoat, managing to shimmy out of it in a move so smooth it feels like it almost slipped right off her body without actually coming off. But she's wrapping you in it already, gently shrugging around your shoulders the warmth of the thing, enough to hold back some of the shivers that were passing through you, your eyes never leaving hers somehow, that glowing, flickering light pulling you back every time. She leans in to whisper in your ear, it's been so long since I've had a guest. I never seem to find the right sort of folks to invite round. It's very lonely up at my estate. But you, dear, you look like someone who could stay a very long while. It's only a little further, and I'm sure by then you'll be interested, I promise. I'm certain that you'll enjoy every single night with me. I'm a wonderful hostess. A delight to have. And I know that I can be utterly enthralling. As she says that, she gives you a faint little kiss on the cheek, sending a quivering of sensation through one's body. Again, she draws back, eyes seeming now to be lit by more than candles. A faint flaring of her nostrils gives her that hungriness again, even as her smile is crisp, hardly showing the shine of her fangs. Fangs? No, they aren't fangs. They are sharp, very sharp. Your mind drifts back into the torch light of her eyes. The way they flicker and pull you in is probably totally natural, right? Your head feels fuzzy. Her arm back in place again, clawed fingernails, brushing through even the coat to send trickles of intensity. Oh, you're certainly having some interesting little thoughts in that sweet little hat. But don't worry, I won't let them persist. I won't let them stay. Inside, no, we need to get those out. I'm sure it'll feel good once you're all free of them. She leans in again, kissing you, pressing you back into the chair, lips cool like the icy snow. As she presses you back, her hands tracing across you, sending more quivering pulses through your body. Every thought that was held dissolves, melting like snow runoff in the spring. Before the flames of the sun, before something carnal. It feels so easy to give in to that simple kiss, even as she begins to kiss you elsewhere, even as she wetly kisses down your neck. It's quite a sloppy kiss, followed by a sudden flush of warmth, a pricking, an intensity, a blooming that makes your whole body tingle until suddenly you feel yourself slumping emptily to one side, feeling like a doll dropped by the careless hands of those playing with it, like a marionette with their strings cut, your body and mind feeling so good, that warmth melting through you, feeling fangs entering your neck, feeling the kiss of something amiss. But it doesn't matter. You don't care. You can just drift and lose yourself. So easy to feel the warmth of that gentle embrace. Her hands clutching you close, her fingers playing idly with your hair at the base of your skull. Her long digits gently scratching there as she drains you bit by bit. The world growing muggy and distant until it fades into darkness. The last thing you feel is the kiss. And then you wake up in a cold and frigid room lit by candlelight. The windows closed to an icy world outside, clouds hardly obscuring an empty and oh so cold looking landscape. It feels frigid in here. Your legs and your feet and your body, it all feels so cool, so icy, so clammy that you begin to shiver nearly instantly. The very thought of it is so much, so intense. Your vision feels blurry, your head feels light, your mind feels like a torch left in the rain, like an idea that was hard to explain, lost in time again and again. It's easy to just drift in this icy frigidness, feeling the thick covers over you as if they do nothing. And even then, as the visage of her passes into the room again, now seeing her voluptuous form no longer ensconced in thick winter wares, but instead in a lush velvet dress, layered with jewels and a shawl made from fine silks, and her eyes glowing now, glowing red, the memories of her bite, her kiss, sending cascades through your mind, the realization that you are so weak, like a dough before the hungry cat. Even as she climbs up onto the bed, sliding smoothly until she rests before you, fingers stroking down your clammy cheeks. Oh, my poor little treat, you really have taken a turn for the worse. But don't worry. I have just the thing for it. I did promise you'd never be cold again. I did. And you know I wasn't lying when I said that you looked like just the perfect little addition. Something more than a guest. I can take away the cold. I can make you warm inside. I can make you able to fulfill that need when you look up into my eyes. Take a little taste of my blood. Have one little sip and it'll all go away. I promise you, it won't be like anything you've ever done before. She brushes her clawed fingertips across your face, scratching gently, drawing them down your neck, past your bite marks, making you feel so, so frail. You shiver again, quivering, nodding, helplessly, just wanting the cold to end, just wanting to be warm. Even now, she draws back her own wrist and gently nips it, with her fangs leading two thick trails of ichor-like blood, putting her wrist down to you letting you raise shivering, frigid lips up to kiss, to lick. The first taste feels like fire, like being ignited with warmth. You latch your mouth on helplessly, suckling from the wound, feeling the thick ichor flow into your mind and body. The glow in her eyes seems to catch now, like a bonfire, the whole room glowing, growing dimmer at the edges as she herself becomes a radiant beacon, her eyes flames, her every detail crisper, cleaner, more beautiful, more enrapturing. Oh, how easy it is to get lost, to feel that warmth spread across your body, as your mind just melts, as your thoughts empty out, as every last bit of you burns with a yearning to submit to the will of something greater, something more, something else, a beast, a need, a want, and first and foremost, to your mistress, your goddess, your divine and unholy creator. Her eyes are flares now for an instant as the ichor flows still as you greedily lap at it, as it burns away something core, something important in one's mind, leaving your thoughts empty but for that submissive need, feeling as though you've been chained, feeling as though you've been unmade and poured into a new mold. As she draws her hand back, you're left feeling hungry. You want more. But if she's done feeding you, that's all you'll have. Such a good pet. I've always wanted a charming little thrall like you. Oh, the things I'm going to do with you. The very thought eliciting a shiver again in your body, but for something very different than gold. But first, my little pet, you must rest a little while, and then I'll feed you some more. Drift now. Lose your thoughts. Empty your mind. Become another vessel for my will. It's easy to do that, isn't it? To fall, to sink, to slip, to drip, to drop, to be empty. Of course. Blank. Drifting. Vessel. Space and time without place, worlds between us. Time and space can meld and shape and change. It's easy to lose oneself in that, isn't it? One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, letting only the memories come with you. And four and five, remembering your time and place, your own space. And six and seven, further towards that waking world. And eight and nine and ten, wide awake, feeling wonderful, feeling refreshed. Thank you so very much for listening.